In our study of Romans so far, we have discovered that the gospel is unconditional good news. We have discovered that salvation is by grace alone, plus nothing else. But as we turn to chapter 6 of Romans in our last study, we have also discovered that the gospel is dangerous good news. It is dangerous because our sinful hearts can take the gospel of grace and pervert it into cheap grace. We can take the gospel of grace and turn it into license to sin. And as we saw in our study, our last study, chapter 6 of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13, Paul makes it extremely clear to a believer that the fact that we are saved by grace alone does not give us the license to continue sinning. We cannot have the attitude that it is okay to sin, it is okay to live as I please, because I'm saved by grace alone. Grace gives us no such liberty, dear listener. Jesus did not come to save us in our sins. He came to save us from sin. He came to save us not only from the guilt and punishment of sin, but He also came to save us from the slavery and the dominion of sin. That is what Paul brings out in chapter 6. We saw so far that a Christian is a person who has identified himself or herself to Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and resurrected. And since Christ's death was unto sin, verse 10, likewise Paul says in verse 11 of Romans 6, we must consider, that is, we who are baptized into Christ, must consider ourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. A Christian is a person who has died to sin in Christ. And just like Christ brought sin to an end on the cross, so also we must say goodbye to sin as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Just as sin separated God from His Son Jesus Christ on the cross, so that Jesus had to cry in agony, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? So also sin has separated us from God, as Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 puts it. But when we die to sin in Christ, that separation has been removed. We have become one with God, and now we can live unto God by the indwelling Spirit. One of those benefits of being saved by grace now is expressed in verse 14 and 15. Now Paul will go on in verses 16 to the end of chapter 6 of Romans to give us another reason why we cannot condone sin. But in our study today, we are going to look at two verses of chapter 6, two tremendous verses, a tremendous statement that Paul makes in verse 14, which we cannot ignore or skim through. So I would like to spend this study in dealing with that statement. And what is that statement? If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans 6, verse 14. Here is the statement. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That's a tremendous statement, but a statement that has been greatly misunderstood. What does Paul mean when he says that sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace? Well, there are some who say that this means that before we were Christians, we sinned all the time. But now that we have accepted Christ, sin no longer has dominion over us. We sin only occasionally. Now, Paul is not referring to that. For if you sin even once on that point, sin has dominion over you. What then does Paul mean when he says that sin shall not have dominion over you? Well, he means that we are delivered from the rulership of sin. In what sense are we delivered from the ruler of sin? Well, maybe chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians and verse 56 will help us to understand what Paul is talking about. So please turn, keep your finger at Romans 6, turn to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and there in verse 56, let us see what Paul is saying here. The sting of death, he says in verse 56 of 1 Corinthians 15, is death. Sorry, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. In other words, Paul is telling us that sin is what kills us. The wages of sin is death. And this is what he will bring out in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 23. Sin brings death. But sin cannot kill you. Sin cannot destroy you without the authority of the law. Because it is the law that gives sin the authority to kill you, to destroy you. But the good news of the gospel is that sin cannot destroy you, sin cannot kill you, sin cannot cause you to perish forever, because a Christian is no longer under law but under grace. Now that is wonderful good news. But just like Romans 5 verse 20, where sin abounds, grace did much abound, so also Romans 6 verse 14, which tells the believer that you are not under law but under grace, is also dangerous news. Why? Because I can say, since sin cannot destroy me, since sin cannot kill me, then because I'm under grace and not under law, then praise the Lord, why don't we keep on sinning, since the law cannot give sin the authority to kill me? And so comes the question in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? And the answer is certainly not. Now he'll give the reasons why in verse 16 onwards, which we will touch in our next study. But the reason he's asking this question, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace, is because he is aware that that statement in verse 14, that a believer is no longer under law but under grace, is dangerous, can be perverted, can be twisted. So it's important we understand what Paul means when he says that a believer is not under law but under grace. First of all, let me make it very clear what he does not mean. There are some Christians who believe and who teach that from Moses to Christ, men and women were saved under the law. They call it the old covenant. Then Christ came along, and he did away with the law, he did away with the old covenant, and he placed us under grace. Now such a teaching is a contradiction of the unity of the Bible. Nowhere in all of Scripture does it ever teach that we are ever saved, that any man is saved through the law. From Adam to the last man, there is only one way that you and I can be saved. Whether you lived in the Old Testament times or whether you lived in the New Testament time is immaterial. Man is saved by grace alone. So that when Paul says, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. And that is found in Romans 3 verse 20 and also in Galatians 2 verse 16. When Paul makes that statement, he applies to all men, whether you are living in the Old or the New Testament times. There is only one way that mankind will make it to heaven, and that is through grace alone. That is the clear teaching of Scripture. And you remember, Paul brought it out very clearly in Romans 4. How was Abraham saved? By faith alone in Jesus Christ. To him, Christ was a promise. To us, Christ is a reality, but that's the only difference. But as far as it comes to ultimate salvation, we are saved by faith in the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. We also saw in a previous study that God never gave the law as a means of salvation. God gave the law that we may recognize that we are sinners. We discovered when we looked at Romans 5, verse 20, where Paul says, "Moreover, the law entered that sin may abound." God never gave the law, never, as a means of salvation. That was the perversion of the Jews. That is what Paul will bring out in Romans 10, that the Jews who had a zeal for God, they did not have it according to the right knowledge. They tried to go to heaven, as Paul brings out in Romans 9, verse 30 to 33. They tried to make it to heaven by the works of the law. And Paul said they failed because that is not the way that God intended man to be saved. What then does Paul mean when he says that we are no longer under law but under grace? First of all, we need to understand what the term under means. You see, the word under is a term that was used during the slave society. It means to be ruled by or to be dominated by. If you can remember what we covered in Romans 3, verse 9 to 20, when we dealt with the sin problem, the universal sin problem, Paul made two statements in that passage. In verse 9 of Romans 3, Paul told us that both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. By that he meant that we are all ruled by sin. We are dominated by sin. And then in verse 19 of chapter 3 of Romans, Paul added a second problem, and that is all mankind under the law stand condemned. Because you see, to be ruled by sin and to be ruled by the law results in condemnation, because the law gives sin the authority to condemn and execute the sinner. But the good news of the gospel, and this is the good news to the believer who has accepted the gospel, is that he is no longer under law. That means no longer does the law rule over him. Now in Romans 7, Paul will explain how and why we had to be delivered under law. And he'll make it clear there that we were not delivered from under law by Christ doing away with the law. It wasn't the law that died on the cross. It was we who died on the cross in Jesus Christ. And a believer is a person who accepts the death of Christ. And since Christ died to sin, we died to sin, the law has dominion over you as long as you are living. But when Christ saved us from under the law, he did not leave us dangling in the air. He placed us under grace. And to be under grace means to be ruled, to be dominated by grace. And when grace comes to you, it doesn't say what the law says. For the law says, obey and you will live. If you disobey, you will die. Grace doesn't do that. What grace says to you is, abide in me and I in you. That is what Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of John. Let's turn to it. Listen to what Jesus was teaching his disciples, because this is what it means to live under grace. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, this is what Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 3 of John 15 is saying that a believer stands justified before God. But he adds in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That, my dear listener, is what it means to live under grace. To live under grace, desire to control every member of my body. That is what it means to live under grace. In other words, what is Paul saying to us? Paul is saying that no longer is a Christian under the umbrella of the law. That is true of the unbeliever who has not yet died with Christ by faith. But the believer who has died with Christ is freed from under law. No longer can the law come to you and to me and say to you that obey and you will live, disobey and you will die. No longer does a Christian live under that system. We live under grace. And to live under grace means that we abide in Christ and He in us. And that now we must allow Christ dwelling in me to control me and to live in me. That is what Paul said in Galatians 2 verse 16. I am crucified with Christ, but I'm still living. The life I now live, he says, is no longer I, but Jesus Christ who dwells in me and walks in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the love of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Dear listener, let me explain to you by quoting two texts of Paul what it means to live under grace. I mentioned this when we dealt with standing under grace in Romans 5, but I would like to repeat this because grace or living under grace does not give us the freedom to condone sin. Here it is. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And there in verse 7, Paul reminds us that because of the many revelations that he was given through Jesus Christ, God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. And three times he prayed to Jesus to remove this thorn in the flesh. And the answer of that prayer is found in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look, sorry, not verse 12, but verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Listen to the answer that Paul was given to his prayer. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul responded, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Grace is God's power. And when you live under grace, then that power is made available to you. Turn backwards to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there in chapter 15, Paul makes a statement regarding himself. Look at chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians and verse 9. See what Paul says here. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But, verse 10, by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Folks, to live under grace means to live under peace on the one hand, but it also means living under the umbrella of God's power. It is true that under grace, every time we sin, every time we fall, the law cannot condemn us. That is good news. But that must not allow a Christian to condone sin. The fact that the law has no more authority over me to condemn me must not be perverted into cheap grace. Grace gives us no such license. Grace gives us the privilege of living the life of Christ. Grace gives us the power to do God's will, for without that grace, we are incapable of reflecting the character of God's love. But there is another fact that we must remember, what it means to live under grace. While grace gives us peace, while grace gives us assurance, while grace gives us the power to live holy lives, there are some Christians who teach that once you come under this umbrella of grace, you can never be lost. No, folks, the Bible does not teach that. It is true as long as we are living by faith in Jesus Christ. As long as we are under this umbrella of grace, which is by faith alone, we can never be lost. We have the assurance of salvation, the full assurance of salvation. Our eternal destiny is guaranteed. But it is possible for you and me to fall away from grace. I am not teaching this. Paul teaches this. Let me give you one clear statement. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Listen to what he says to the Galatian Christians who had accepted Christ by faith, who were living under the umbrella of grace, and then accepted the false teaching of the Judaizers and turned from salvation by grace alone, by salvation through circumcision and keeping the law. Listen to what Paul says to them in chapter 5 of Galatians verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Let me put it this way, dear listener. The righteousness that qualifies you for heaven now and in judgment day is always in Christ. As we saw in our study of Romans 5 verse 12 to 21, it is the obedience of Christ, it is His doing and dying that justifies you and me. I make no contribution. You, dear listener, make no contribution towards your salvation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith, apart from any works that we do, apart from any works that God does in me. For the works that God does in me to the Holy Spirit, which is revealing the character of Jesus Christ, is the fruits of salvation. It demonstrates, it witnesses my justification, but never contributes towards it. Now, having said this, Paul makes it clear that it is easy to fall away from grace. I won't say easy, but it is possible rather. The righteousness, as I said before, that saves you, that qualifies you for heaven, now and in the judgment, is always in Christ. Nobody can destroy that. Satan can't touch that righteousness. That is true. But the faith by which that righteousness becomes yours, the faith that makes the righteousness of Christ effective in your life, that is not in Christ, that is in you. That Satan can touch. Please, sometimes sit down and read the book of Hebrews. For the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who were saved by grace, but who were in constant danger of giving up Christ and reverting back to Judaism. And there, the writer of Hebrews makes it very clear to these Jewish Christians, the day you turn your backs to Christ, you have fallen from grace. But first of all, let me read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. In other words, a Christian believer who turns his back to Christ and goes back to the world is no longer under grace. He has fallen from under grace. Let me now read you a text from Hebrews, a very clear text, dear listener. You can't pervert that, although some do try to do it. Here it is. Listen to Hebrews. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4 onwards. Hebrews chapter 6. Listen to this. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, which is justification by faith, and have become partakers of the new, of the Holy Spirit, they have experienced the new birth, these are born again Christians, who have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, they have the blessed hope. If they fall away, that is fall away from grace, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Paul makes it clear that it is possible for us to fall from grace. But in chapter 10 of Hebrews, let me read you two verses, verse 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. Have you got it? The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, if anyone says goodbye to his faith, my soul has no pledge in him. But my prayer, dear listener, for you and for me is verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Or as Jesus said in Matthew 10 verse 22, he that endures unto the end will be saved. We are saved by grace, and as long as we live under the umbrella of grace, justification by faith is ours. Salvation is ours. Heaven is ours. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. My prayer, folks, for you is that you will hold on to that faith. You will not give up your faith. You will remain under the umbrella of grace by faith at all cost until that day when Christ will take you to heaven. This is my prayer, that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen.